The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
Welcome back. We have reached the midpoint of our program, and we've talked a lot about college football this week. And, of course, the college players move on to the pros, and one of the most interesting battles this week is on the pro level, the NFC game, and what an amazing matchup between the 49ers and the Eagles and the quarterbacks in this game. Of course, Jalen Hurts for the Eagles and Brock Purdy. Did you know that name until recently? Bruce Feldman did, because he did a deep dive on this. He happened to be doing the game for Fox a number of years ago when these two met on the field in an epic showdown. Bruce, thanks for the time. Appreciate you coming on. And I bet you didn't realize that autumn day, what we were about to see a couple of years later, did you? Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Paul. No, I definitely did not see that coming. What was crazy was that night, my crew, we were in at OU. I mean, it felt like it was like 21-0 in like 5 minutes. And at halftime, Oklahoma was up 35-14, so up 21 points. And you're like, oh, this is going to get ugly. And then, it's going to be just get uglier. And what I just remember was talking to Matt Campbell coming back on the field before the start of the second half. He goes, I don't know about what's going to happen the rest of the way, but I know our guys are going to play their butts off. And Brock Purdy played fantastic in that game. He threw 5 touchdowns and ran for another, no picks. And it came down to the last play of the game, basically, was the 2-point conversion. They couldn't convert it, and Oklahoma won. Purdy and Jalen combined for 11 touchdowns and 1 interception. It was an amazing show, but never would I have guessed, 3 years later that they're going to be playing the two of them with a Super Bowl on the line. I mean, it's just amazing.
Yeah, I mean, Bruce, if it wasn't for Purdy, we'd be obsessing over, what did we all miss on Jalen Hurts? But let me start with Purdy. And I mean, everyone has a Purdy story now. I saw somewhere where somebody said that he'd gone to Nick Saban's camp and Saban didn't think he was good enough. I mean, nobody thought he was good enough. So how did what you saw that day on the field, how did everyone almost completely miss on him until the final pick of the draft? And what happened after that?
Yeah, I mean, so the story I worked on this week for The Athletic was wanted to revisit it, and I was able to get one NFL team's scouting report on what they had on Brock Purdy going into the draft. And it was interesting for people who haven't read the story yet. It was just like their final grade on him was just no interest. And what it came back to of why he ended with the last pick in the draft, you have a guy who was under 6'1", 212 pounds, didn't have big hands, didn't run a particularly good 40 time, was in the mid-4.8s, and they felt like he was a limited athlete, kind of maxed out body, throws it okay, but they didn't think there was no elite traits there. Now they thought he was saw the field well and could extend some plays a little bit, but what their biggest challenge with him, because the guy ran for 1,200 yards in college, was there are guys who looked pretty fast in college who could make some plays. And the specific examples was Tim Tebow, Johnny Manziel, Zach Wilson. But in the NFL, there's a big difference to get running away from linebackers in college than there is in the NFL. Those guys get hawked down in the NFL. And they didn't think his athleticism would hold up. And that has been so I went back to this particular scout who did the scouting report of Purdy, and he said that's the biggest thing that's been different when you watch him now compared to the film, his athleticism. He just moves better than what he did then. He looks more athletic. And he made a really interesting point was there are guys who play a lot in college football and you have a lot of film. And it's like you have a really good sense of what they can't do or what they're not that good at. Because whereas some guys, they don't play that much in college. Maybe they play for a year, and their warts don't show up as much. And in the case of this, Brock Purdy went to a system that he's a really good fit for what the 49ers and Kyle Shanahan asked him to do, as opposed to, let's say, if he went to the Bills and they were trying to hope he can do what Josh Allen does, because he probably wouldn't do well at that. And so it's a really fascinating, like, look at then and now and what they see. And it was pretty eye-opening for me just to hear him walk through that process.
Talking to Bruce Feldman from The Athletic, also Fox Sports. Bruce, let's talk about Jalen Hurts for a second, because, I mean, everyone watches this show and listens knows what he did at Alabama and what happened and losing the job to Tua and then finally going to Oklahoma. And, you know, some are now doing revisionist history. I read a colleague of ours, Kevin Skarbinski, write this week that maybe Saban made a mistake. maybe he picked the wrong one, which, you know, it takes a mouthful to digest that. But what do you remember about that battle and ultimately Jalen Hurts' ascent to, you know, being a serious contender for MVP in the NFL?
Yeah, I think Jalen was a terrific player. Tua was a terrific player. They were very different. From what I remember, and I had some of these conversations with people who worked at Alabama recently because I've asked them about Jalen Hurts. And one of the things was, you know, Jalen was really smart. He obviously was a terrific runner, but, like, he didn't pull the trigger maybe as willingly as Tua did. And whether Tua saw it or not, he was firing it. And maybe there was a fearlessness or a gunslinger quality that maybe – you know, Jalen didn't have at the time. Now, this person I talked to who was on that Alabama staff said, I did not see what I'm seeing from Jalen Hurts now, but a lot of people give him a ton of credit because he has really refined his skills as a passer. I don't think, like, I use the term revisionist history. I don't disagree with that term in terms of, like, I have a ton of respect for Jalen Hurts. When he went to Oklahoma, my crew did a bunch of his games. And I remember I would talk to him sometimes on Tuesdays. And he's a deep kid. He's not a kid anymore, obviously. But, like, you could tell he, you know, there was a huge chip on his shoulder, I think. And it's not necessarily just, you know, because he didn't keep the job at Alabama or whatever. I just think he has this burning desire to keep getting better. And he's been able to do things that a lot of times guys don't get that much more accurate or don't refine their skills or their mechanics enough to make a big difference, you know, in the NFL, whereas he has done all that. And I think it's a huge credit to him because the guys I've talked to who are, you know, football coaches are like, this isn't like the guy who, in terms of throwing, you know, he was a really good runner. He's really strong. He definitely had a strong arm, but in terms of just consistency and accuracy and the things he's doing, he has continued to work to get a lot better. And so I think it's just like, hey, I root for him because I remember talking to him and knowing how – I remember one point saying something to him where I was like, you know, I feel like you're going to have a book in you one day just because you could tell, you know, he had just this deep – he's just a deep thinker on this, and he has done the work. And so, I mean, I root for the Eagles from knowing what I thought he was about and how he's worked for this.
Bruce Feldman on the matchup Sunday. Of course, the matchup in the other game is pretty interesting, too. You covered both of those guys as well with Burrow and Mahomes. And we all knew at the end Burrow was going to be great. But the story from the beginning, and as you have written many times about, Patrick Mahomes was overlooked as well, wasn't he?
He was. You know, I mean, East Texas, a lot of people thought he would probably just go the baseball route. You know, it wasn't like he won a ton of games at Texas Tech. You know, I remember being at a game where they were playing at Kansas. The game kicked off at 11 a.m. Kansas was horrible. Patrick didn't play that well. I kept on thinking Cliff Kingsbury is going to pull him and put Davis Webb in there, and because Davis was a talented quarterback, and he stuck with Mahomes. They barely won the game, and they didn't. You know, they had bad defenses. You know, that they played, and they had. And I think he went to a really good system fit with Andy Reid, and you're seeing all this, you know, great creativity and talent that is just comes. I mean, he looks like he's in total control. I think this is such a fun matchup. Like, you know, for anybody, any SEC fan, you know, 2019 was magical at LSU, and you see two of the biggest factors for that, obviously, with Joe and Ja'Marr Chase. I think, you know, I can't imagine anybody who rooted for LSU has not become a huge Bengals fan because that place was awful before Joe Burrow got drafted. And to see them to go to back-to-back Super Bowls, and he hadn't even been there that long, it's kind of, you know, I don't think it shocks anybody who's been around LSU and it was around him, because they know how special he was. You know, like, he was the quintessential, he was the closest thing to a coach on the field I've ever seen in college. And to see this matchup, I think this is like, if you're a college football fan, I think this is, you know, this is like so much fun to see how these guys have just, I won't say taken over the NFL, but it kind of feels like that right now.
Bruce, before you go, you did the book with Ogeron, and so you spent a lot of time around that program and understanding the mindset. What happened for Joe Burrow, though? Everyone now remembers it differently at Ohio State, how good he was, but he couldn't get on the field. But when did that light switch for him, and how did it happen?
You know, I think it helped that Ed believed in him, maybe when other places were like, didn't kind of see it, or they thought they had better options. And I think the biggest thing for them was, we trust you. And then it grew from there. And I think a lot of stuff fell into place, right? Because you had this really good group of receivers. Justin Jefferson was a low ranked recruit who blossomed, and Ja'Marr Chase was a really, you know, you had that. And then you had some of the ideas that came from Joe Brady, and it was, you know, under Steve Ensminger's leadership and that. And then I think that first year they struggled. It was a little inconsistent. They didn't really know what Joe was great at. And then at times, you know, we got into this in that book you're talking about, is like, I think they realized Joe Burrow was like, let him send five receivers out. We're not going to max protect. We're going to let him basically attack the defense. And I think you have a guy who is so confident and just sees the game at a different speed than everybody else does. He flourished, you know, and, you know, it didn't happen overnight. I think it just kept growing and growing. And then it got to that, you know, like I said, that the end of the first year, and then Joe Brady came in, and then the other, you know, guys kind of stepped it up. And all of a sudden, for the first time in probably ever, LSU's offense started to whip the defense. And I think it just kind of grew and grew. And by the time I remember coming around there, like in the end of, you know, like towards the time when they were going to play for the SEC title game against Georgia, I mean, the confidence that you would feel from him in the walkthroughs and around the hotel in the meetings was unlike anything I've ever seen from a college guy. I mean, not like when USC was rolling, not like any of those teams. It was like, he was just, you know, that's why I'm not surprised he was able to flip that terrible franchise and turn it into a winner.
Amazing, considering the four quarterbacks in the two biggest games of the year and the stories behind them. Many thanks to Bruce Feldman of The Athletic. Thank you, Bruce. We appreciate it, as always. Great to talk to you. Nobody's better than Bruce to go back and dig these guys. And every one of them has a story. And we will come back and get your reaction to all of that right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Back. Ronnie in Ohio is up next.
Yes, sir. Go Irish. Hey, my friend, Paul. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
First, and with the expansion of college playoffs, you know, we're going to get to say, my friend, you know, the SEC rocks and rolls, and, you know, and with, how should I put this, Paul? I love your show.
Thank you. I do too.
There's going to be one Cinderella team in there, like TCU. And, you know, how should I put this, my friend, and get the beat down on them? Does that make sense?
I'm thinking.
Okay, well, thank you.
Yeah, of course it does. Yeah. Whatever you say, my friend.
Okay, well, what I'm trying to say to you, Paul, it's going to be the same thing.
Have we got an answer on this yet or not? Are you still thinking about it?
What is it, buddy?
Hey, thank you. What's the verdict? Did it make sense or not?
No.
No, it didn't.
What the world's he talking about?
I hate to be so blunt, but he asked a question. We answered.
Yeah.
In court, that's called asked and answered. Andrew is up next. Don't ask a question you don't know the answer to. Andrew is in Atlanta. Hello, Andrew.
Hi, Paul. First-time caller. Watch your show all the time.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for what you do. You were talking earlier about, you know, Jalen Hurts, Mahomes, with them being the last draft. Now, I want to talk about Stetson Bennett.
Okay.
That's my real subject is Stetson Bennett. 4,000 passing yards, 300 in the national championship. How in the world is he going to be a third-round draft pick versus – second or first?
Well, Andrew, the answer is the same way that Dak Prescott was and Brock Purdy and so many others, because I wonder sometimes if these NFL GMs and these scouts watch football. I know what their metrics are.
Me too. I heard it
at the draft last year in Vegas, but I think collectively the 32 GMs of the NFL are some of the stupidest people I've ever met.
Sorry for laughing. You're right.
I shouldn't have said that because I've got a neighbor who's one. Hope he didn't hear that. His track record speaks for itself.
Where do you see Stetson Bennett going in the draft?
I really don't think he'll go that high. Now he has an opportunity, obviously, to change the narrative. Is he in the Senior Bowl? I don't know if he is, and you know, and at a pro days. I mean, that's really what it's all about. You can. All the emphasis on bowl games and championships and yards per carry and yards per throw. These guys look at several what their height, weight, especially their height. They look at how they throw in at a pro day, and that will influence people more than what you just laid out to me. Thanks for the call. I do appreciate it. Andy is in Tuscaloosa. Hello, Andy.
Andy or Eddie?
What's your name?
Eddie.
Eddie? Let me start over again. Eddie is up next in Tuscaloosa. Hello, Eddie.
Hey, Paul, I sat here and waited on this. I only had one thing, but I just got to say this. What a thoughtful and class thing to do yesterday to devote so much time to Coach Bryant's anniversary of his death. It was, I know he totally was for Alabama, but I think it certainly permeated the whole football. If you want to give a word association test and say football coach, and that about 90% of the people would say Bryant.
Eddie, I thought the best caller of the day was Andy, the first caller we had in the first hour of the show from Tuscaloosa. Do you remember him?
Yeah.
Andy, whose real name is Eddie. Eddie, I got a real I heard later actually late last night, early this morning from Mark Tyson, and you know Mark. And Mark is Coach Bryant's grandson. And even if he had been the only one who appreciated it, it would have been worth it. But he told me he got such a thrill out of going back and watching it and hearing people like you and Jerry. And the guy that really blew me away, we had the captain who took Coach Bryant around. Captain, what was his name? Captain Poole. I can't remember his name. But I was straight. Did you know, were you around late in the show when Tex Poole called in?
Paul, I had to leave, really.
Okay, do you remember him being on Bryant's last staff?
Oh, yeah, okay. I did hear that. Yeah, sure did.
I mean, he called under the name of Bryant Poole, and I'm thinking, I remember. Poole. I remember him now, but he told me that he had taped, I think, the last meeting, the last coaches meeting. He had, some unbelievable stories, but I haven't talked to him in 40 years.
Well, that you bring him up, same with me too. He was a good coach, and I remember him well now. I certainly do. But again, it was a class thing to do. One other thing, Paul, and I don't mean take up too much of time.
No, listen, Jalen Hurts. You take your time.
Going out to Alabama practice, I have three other officials go with me. The very first day we came in after we saw Jalen Hurts, almost to a person, we said, "Who the hell was that guy?" Then you could just tell he was something kind of special. And I didn't even know his name then, but Jalen is obviously a very good quarterback. And one other quick thing, I told the guy that answered the phone, I was going to give you a fact that not many people know. This is done in the interest of adding education to the program, by the way. But what would you say is the most famous painting in the world?
Well, probably the Mona Lisa.
The Mona Lisa, correct. She has no eyebrows.
I always thought that was my imagination.
Oh, that's my
when
fact.
We have that painting in our house, of course. And
okay,
we went over to Paris and ripped it off. I did not know that.
Okay, well that's in the.
But I can tell you what she does have.
What? yeah. Right. Both of them.
Hey, by the way, I'm curious. As somebody who's been at every Alabama practice for the last 100 years. Tell me a player, Eddie, that the first time you saw him at a practice, it can be from the beginning or as recently as a couple of months ago, which player caused you to have your jaw drop the most? Who just blew you away?
Yeah, I was there obviously when Joe was there.
Yeah, I was wondering about Joe.
But I would say Ozzie Newsome. He was the most complete player. Ozzie could have done. He could play quarterback. He could have been return punts. He could. But he could have done everything. He's the most complete player I've ever seen. And you could just tell when he was at. Damn, Paul, I've seen so many ball players. You can look at them. You know they're good ball players. And he was one of them. But here's what I really wanted to get to. If I don't take up too much of your time. When you were writing in Birmingham, and y'all had some great writers, as you know, Marshall, a really good friend of Coach Bryant, you, all of us football jocks here in Tuscaloosa used to love to read your column when you would do what we called a BW column. Now, that was a best and worst.
Oh, yeah, those were great.
You would write the best team.
Oh, yeah, the worst. Those were fun. I mean, they were the easiest ones to do. I usually did that when I had something to do the rest of the day.
We call them BWs. Putting that rationale with the 10 or 11 bowl games that Southeastern Conference played, what team do you think or what came out personified the best, came out in the best perspective, and then the one, the team that came out with the worst. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
They came out with a little impetus.
Well,
I will
eliminate Georgia from the conversation because I think that speaks for itself. But
certainly,
I think other than that, let me think. I was really impressed. I mean, Alabama to me probably played the most complete game in the bowl game.
They did.
I mean, I felt like at the end of the year, Alabama was one of the two best teams in the country, which they were not during the rest of it. I tell you, another one was Tennessee. I thought Tennessee winning the game without Hooker against Clemson was really impressive. As far as the other side of that, I was underwhelmed by a lot of teams. Florida was just laughable to watch, but I'll give them maybe more of a pass than Kentucky was awful. I'm trying to remember who else. Ole Miss barely showed. Mississippi State was impressive considering what they had gone through.
That you're correct. Well, Paul, you have really impressed me because you totally agree with me.
Well, Eddie, I tell you what, we were sitting around the other day. We are going to try to drag you in for a couple of segments one day if you have time. I know you're busy, we would like to kind of mine your brain back in the day and just kind of have some fun. So we'll be in touch with you soon.
Well, I every Monday I change the odor eaters in my shoes. So
okay. So Monday's out, Friday's obviously out, since you sound busy today.
Oh, it's always a pleasure talking to you.
Eddie, one of my favorite people. And thank you, Eddie. Eddie Conyers, who just went into the Alabama Sports Hall of Fame. That's who this was. And his story is absolutely spectacular. And we will talk to him soon. We'll take a short break here on a Friday afternoon.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back on a late on a Friday afternoon. Let's continue with more phone calls. And Jerry is up next in Alabama. Hello, Jerry.
Hello, Mr. Feinbaum. I really enjoy your show. I watch it almost every day.
Thank you.
And I really, really enjoy it. But I especially enjoyed yesterday when you were paying tribute to Coach Bryant and, you know, the 40th anniversary of his death. And I got a picture of the when they played Illinois in the Liberty Bowl and beat them his last ball game.
Yes, sir.
And I was telling the young man that I talked to that if you would like one and could give me an address to send it to, if you would, I would be honored really to send you a picture of it.
Thank you, Jerry. I tell you what, I'm going to put you on hold, and they'll give you our address here at the television studio. And thanks so much. Thank you, Jerry. Let me put you on hold here if I can get somebody to grab that, or if I can figure out where the hold button is. Where is the hold button?
Well, also now before you do that, I've got one of Coach Bryant when he was in the Navy.
Yes.
And one of Mike Shuler together.
Oh, my goodness.
You won't believe it. They look like twin brothers.
That is funny. Well, Jerry,
I'll send you one of them also, okay?
Okay. You bet. I'll put you on. I did find the hold button. Took me a long time to find that button. JK, the Bama hater, is up next.
What's going on, Paul?
Roll Tide, JK.
Man, whatever. Hey, Paul, check this out. Hey, man. I got old praise from Jim. I don't know what that's all about. But I got me an early Christmas present in January.
What happened?
Man, look, I thought Rhett Lashley was bad till we got Gattis. Now, if you want to make this a true birthday and a Christmas gift and Valentine's Day gift all in one, I hope they send Gaddis to Alabama.
Well, now, I don't. Something tells me Nick does not want him back.
Hey, Paul, let him screw Bama up. That'll be even better than him screwing Miami up.
So how many coaches has Mario fired now?
Man, not enough.
Remember, he's the guy that hired all these gems.
Paul, you know what I learned from big name coaches and top 10 recruiting classes? You know what that mean?
Not much.
Absolutely nada. That don't mean nothing, Paul. All those big name coaches and top 10 recruiting classes, and you can't win but five games. That's awful. So I don't know what it's going to take. Maybe we need some better motivational speakers than the coaches, because they're not doing a good job, or the players not doing a good job. Or there's something going on down there in Miami. You can't have all those.
In fairness to Cristobal, and you know how I feel about him, I think he inherited an absolute disaster, and he tried to fix it maybe a little too quickly instead of trying to build it back the right way.
Yeah, I think they tried to go a little bit too fast, but, you know, I bought into the hype, but I'm not falling for the banana in the tailpipe twice. So I'm going to let the season start and get into the middle of the season and see if I'm going to be all in this next season coming up. I'm going to have to wait and see.
Well, but, J.K., even if Miami doesn't play well, you still have Bama to hate.
Hey, always. If I told my buddy at work today, if they play ISIS, I'm going to find me two black flags to wave in the stand.
Well, I think he may be in for a disappointment next year. I think Bama is going to be back.
Yeah, back in the back of the SEC West, like they finished third this year. They're going to be back all right. Hey, Paul, but you keep promoting them like you do. You and Legend, and we'll see how they turn out next year. I told you they ain't making the playoffs next year, so you know
JK,
Nick might tell it.
I don't. I'll leave the screaming to Legend, but I think you're in for. I think Nick Saban's got something up his sleeve.
Yeah, I know. Airplane ticket out of T-town. You know how you told that lie in Miami? Oh, I didn't talk to Alabama.
Oh,
I ain't going
come on.
Nowhere.
You're still holding that against him?
Hey, Paul, 45 minutes later, all you saw was the airplane smoke.
I mean, the media down there tried to get him to say something he didn't want to say, so he just played along.
Hey, it might not be the midnight train to Georgia, but he's leaving.
Did you know that the midnight train to Georgia, it was originally entitled Midnight Train to Houston?
No, I didn't, Paul. I'm not that old. I'm one of those younger looking.
I'm giving you some Jim Weatherly, Gladys Knight trivia there.
Mm-hmm. All right,
it was originally called
cool.
The Midnight Train to Houston. It just did not have much of a ring.
Hey, Paul, what are they going to finish? Hey, tell me what they going to finish that next year.
They're
going to finish number one? Yeah. In the West.
Right now, I would pick Alabama to win the West. Today, without knowing what the roster looks like, that would be my prediction.
And that's your prediction about 20 years running now?
Just 15, 16. Hey, you laugh at me, but there was a time when I was about – 6 out of 9. I mean, that average is going down, I will tell you. But
yeah, hey, in a hurry, like a ton of bricks. Hey,
yeah.
Paul, I'm going to say something to let you go, man. Hey, my barber, I was talking to him about you, and he said, man, you moving up in the world of callers on the Fine Bomb Show. I said, man, I just call and having fun. But, you know, he made a statement, and I told him I was going to remind you of what he said, and this is exactly what he said.
Okay.
He said, man, you know what? That Paul Feinbaum, he's gotten more coaches fired and hired than anybody in college football. Even the people that what do you call those people? The agents. He said Feinbaum has got more coaches fired and hired than the agents. Is that true, Feinbaum, or is he just talking?
By the way, I like your barber. I like his attitude. If I'm in Birmingham, where can I find this barber?
I can't reveal my source. Okay. He might not want you to know that.
Can you imagine if I walked in the barber shop? I'm going to say, you've been talking about me?
Hey, Paul, you know what you can always say when you get in the barber chair?
What's
just
that?
Give me a, just
I got a feeling I'm about to get
cut
hit
a little
here.
Bit off the side.
A little bit off
just
the side.
Just cut a little
yeah.
off the side.
I've heard that one before. Seems like half the world has. Hey, thanks for the call. We're up against a break, and we are coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back. Jim is up next as we roll on a Friday afternoon. Hello, Jim.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
You know, you're a great interviewer. And
thank you.
Another great American interviewer is Howard Stern. And he recently had Stephen A. Smith on his show. I haven't listened to the full interview.
It's worth listening to.
It sounds like it was pretty good. But I think, and I could help maybe grease the works a little bit, Paul. I think you should go on Howard's show and be interviewed by him. How would you feel about that?
Jim, a couple of years ago, I was in New York doing something, and we were tentatively booked, and I really don't remember it. You know, anything can happen, and we ended up getting delisted. But I have never... I don't know Howard. I know a lot of people that do, but I've never been on the show. I would have a great deal of trepidation going on there because I'm not sure I really want to be. I want to answer some of the questions that he would ask, and I think you know what I'm talking about. I mean, I don't really know if I want to go through my entire life history in terms of. But he is a phenomenal interviewer. I agree with you. And I have listened to a lot of his great interviews. I nearly went to work for Sirius XM about 10 years ago. And I'll tell you a quick story. Maybe I the president of Sirius XM brings me up there. And we spent a couple hours together. And he said, "Is there anything anything you'd like to see before I was actually going to be there the whole day. I was going to do our local show from there." I said, "Is there any chance to see Stern Studio?" He goes, "Oh my goodness, that's the one thing I don't control." So he said, "Hold on." He literally went into another office and he called Stern. And you don't get in Howard's studio without his permission. And Stern allowed us in there, so we went in there, and it was, I must tell you, I was a little bit nervous walking around, I mean, because my shoes kept sticking to the floor, but with all the porn stars that have been there, but it was really one of those all-time bucket lists that nobody would believe, so we hung around in there for a while, and I ended up not going to Sirius XM, I came to ESPN.
Well, I think it would be a great production for Howard, and I don't know a lot of people, but maybe that can happen again in the future.
Well,
I really enjoy that.
I would give a long thought to it. It would be a great challenge to be on with him because I do have tremendous. I mean, he's certifiable, but he is also. I would agree with you. I think he's probably the best interviewer in the medium.
Well, I look forward to listening to that someday.
Okay. Well, Jim, if you can make that happen, I will think about gambling my entire career for a one-hour interview with Howard Stern. Thanks for the call. We're heading to the break, and we're coming right back with your phone calls.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.